been such a long time.
I know, we're the worst.
Yeah. It has been a while, yeah.
Why can't we get it together?
Because we're not a monolith.
What?
we contain multitudes.
Yeah.
We have so many things to do.
Honestly.
Right.
I'm so tired, y'all.
Three different versions of so many things to do. Like, I mean, we have to give ourselves a break. Our listeners have to give us a break. There's just, like, a lot going on right now.
Right, yeah. Like, when I get home from work, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shut down and watch King of the Hill.
Is that what you're... you watching King of the Hill?
I am. I'm so happy that's on Netflix. No, not Netflix. Hulu.
What?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Let me use your account.
Okay.
Yeah, you got that Hulu money? You got it like that?
No, my parents. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I'm a true millennial. Come on, y'all. I can only afford to have my own Spotify. Get out of here.
I'm thinking about cutting mine off. Or, like, maybe using my sister's email address.
Mm-hmm. Here, you can...
she's a student.
You can get on my family plan. I just got a family plan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll add you to it. Okay. We're all one big gay family.
I'll give you $1 every
month. $1.
Wait, is this Spotify hookup?
Yeah.
Can I get in on that, too?
Yeah, we'll be one big gay family.
Yes.
They're charging $1 a month.
I don't know if I can just afford that.
Oh, my God, y'all. Actually, we have a new guest. No, I'm kidding. We have a new host.
Hello, it's me. I'm going by Julian now.
Yeah.
Yay! Yay. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
Like, just real quick. So my name is not something that I consider a dead name for myself. I actually do like my name. It's just I don't like being gendered for it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Especially because a lot of what I do for work involves emailing people, doing a lot of social media and stuff like that. When people read my name, they automatically default to she, her. And that gets a little exhausting, you know what I mean? That's kind of like, oh, cool. Like, I can't escape being misgendered IRL. And now I really can't do it online either, or like electronically, right? If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, there's not much I can do about my curves or my body, because right now I don't have an interest on getting on T. I don't want to get top surgery or gender affirmation surgery. That's just not where I'm at right now.
Right. Those things don't determine.
Right. Exactly. Are. But what I'm saying is that if I did get them, then maybe people might not clock me as much as like a woman. Right. And it sucks that like I would probably have to do those things to, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
let people know, like, hey, don't do that, right?
Right.
But, you know, whatever, people express their gender differently, and that's totally cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if anything, I for me, changing my name is the one thing I can at least do for myself. I don't know if I'm gonna go through like a legal name change yet, because I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about Julian. At first, it was super anxiety-inducing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten better, easier, and more natural the more people have been calling me that. And, like, I've been really good about reinforcing it, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I'm going to do it is that, since I don't consider it, like, a dead name right now, at least, I don't really mind if my close friends or if my family call me, you know, by my birth name. Right.
Yo, government.
Like, government name. Right. But it's true, though, especially my family, because there's like my family's not going to like get it. And mm-hmm. I don't think I really care to like go through those mental Olympics to explain it to them. Right.
Right.
But like for everyone else, I'm like, no, it's Julian. My name's Julian.
Cool.
And I'm also spelling it J-U-L-I-E-N.
Cool.
Because I feel like the E makes it a little bit more gender neutral? Question mark? Don't know. But that's where I'm at. So hello. Mm-hmm. I am your new host, okay. Julian.
Julian.
Yay! Yay.
Welcome.
We welcome you.
Sweet.
I'm totally new. I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Someone give them the rundown. cue music. Rundown music.
So what are we? A podcast, I think.
Yeah, and today's podcast, Julian, we're just gonna interview Indisha.
Nice.
Yeah.
What were you talking to Indisha about?
Well, I don't know if you've listened before.
Hopefully this isn't your first time listening to our podcast.
Oh, this is awkward.
Right. It's like, let's just start off here. I mean, honestly, let me take that back, because I've been trying to listen to more podcasts, and that's how I've been starting a lot of them, is I'll just, like, pick a random episode based on, like, the title. I never start from the first one.
Oh, I don't really do that either, especially if it's a podcast that has been going on for a while. I just know that the first episode's gonna be trash.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, let's just jump in. Let's just see what's going on.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot more. Like,
and that's not to say that our episode like wasn't trash. You know what I mean? But like,
which episode did
we start with coming out?
I feel like the first three episodes were pretty hard hitting.
No. Yeah, and then we just progressively got like worse.
Yeah, we set the bar a little bit too high.
We did. Now we're like, y'all, I'm tired.
Right.
I'm so sorry to our listeners.
Actually, 2018 feels like 5 years.
I know. This has been a really hard year.
Yeah, it's been a hard year. It's actually been exactly a year since I moved to Portland.
Oh,
tomorrow it'll be a year to the day. It's crazy. It's perfect timing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, you moved to Portland?
Yes. Julian.
Wait, who's this and who are you?
I'm just kidding. No, the same person before is just Julian and not the other name. Where we don't want to erase who you were.
Thank you for not erasing me. Hashtag won't be erased.
You've been here the whole time.
No erasure here.
No.
God. We're friends.
We're friends. We are?
What? Hi. Welcome, friendship. No. I'm pretty sure we're friends on Facebook.
At the very least, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Indisha. How's Portland treating you? Since it's been a year.
Right now, Portland's treating me pretty well. Just because I have pretty much dedicated myself to staying in my own lane and doing my own thing.
Yeah, dang. So how has that been? What was your transition like? We haven't really talked much about.
Right. Like, you've sort of like mentioned it here and there, but you haven't like talked like in detail about what it's like living in Portland.
Yeah, no, that's true. I have kept it kind of like hush-hush. I guess the reason why I did is because, I don't know, moving to a new place is always kind of like a big thing, and I was kind of still adjusting to my new experiences and everything, like, in real time, and sometimes I still am just because it's so different from Houston. So I guess it was kind of hard for me to just be vocal about what was happening, whether it was good or bad, because I didn't want people to, you know, be like, oh, that's so awful, come back, or, oh, that's so great, like, you know, keep it up, and that's a lot of pressure, you know, so I was kind of like, I'll just keep to myself and do my own thing, but it's been okay. It's different, really, really different, super, super, super white, you know, there's only, like,
white.
I think the black, huh?
White.
So, I mean, that was different to have to deal with. Not that it's like an issue or anything.
Right.
It's just,
what do you mean? Know, that is an issue.
It kind of is. It definitely is. Sometimes. I was just kidding. I was just trying to be nice. No,
you're timing.
It's an issue. It's a big issue that I deal with every time I leave my house. Honestly.
Same.
Yeah, but I understand it's because you live there and you don't want to.
Right.
You know, those are also the people you're living near and with in the community, so
exactly.
Isn't Portland like home to like a bunch of neo-Nazis too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this summer there was some like bullshit that was happening like not too far from where I was on like the waterfront or something. There was this Proud Boy rally.
Oh my god.
Of course There was a lot of media about it. People knew it was happening. Yeah, they are a bunch of fucking dorks. And it was a really fucking dorky thing because they already knew about it. So it was like this, like, really stupid thing. There were people obviously already there to be like, okay, what's up? Of course, the cops were on the Proud Boy side because cops are racist too. And that's all she wrote, you know? It's just bullshit like that. I just, you know, I just went to work and did my own thing. My girlfriend picked me up and dropped me off, and I didn't really do much out of my routine. Luckily, I work and live pretty close, so I just kind of stay really close to everything. So,
what? Wait, hold on, backtrack. You have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know we knew that.
No, I know we knew that. Wait, no, I'm Julian now, so I had no idea. No, but I mean, like, I think Indisha has mentioned it once or twice.
Oh yeah,
in the podcast? Question mark. Yeah. Not sure.
Have you? Is this the first one you mentioned it?
I have in passing. Yeah, I'm in a relationship. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Stability.
She's out the market, together, y'all. So
it was for like a life situation reason. So you know, it was what it was, and it is what it is. But so far, it's been great.
Right. It only took you having to go across the nation to
find a girlfriend. Jesus.
I mean, honestly, I knew that would happen. I even said that all the time when I was in Texas. I was like, dude, it's fine. I'm just gonna leave and I'll just find someone else. It's all good.
I mean, you got booed up pretty quickly, so
boot up.
I mean, I know. Boot up. I know, because it's like, yeah, I just felt so underappreciated.
Right. Would you say, like, compared to where you're at now from last year, right, where do you feel like you're at with your headspace, your mental headspace? And like, I mean, obviously you have a more stable living situation now, so besides that, but I guess right. my question is that what are some things that you've learned in this year's time span? If there are things you have done differently, what would they have been? And you know, those kinds of things.
That is a great question.
Well, I thank you.
Yeah. Something that I've definitely appreciated with moving out and moving out here, the fact that it has been so different and the fact that it is so, like, strange for me to kind of navigate my time has definitely given me more time to look inward and kind of deal with my own things and kind of practice my own self-healing and self-soothing without having, you know, my family and my friends and all of my, like, regular routines to fall back on, you know, like, around me physically, like I would have at home. So I feel like that helped me to grow a little bit more as far as, like, finding out what I do need for myself. And I think I definitely needed that because I wasn't as sheltered as I was before. And I think that definitely helped. I feel like I'm in a much better place as far as dealing with things, just because I've kind of been forced to figure out how to deal with them on my own, basically. And with that kind of helped me grow more as a person, and I actually feel like a real adult. Like, I kind of recommend, like, people moving away to find themselves. It's true. It kind of does help, because you're kind of just stuck, and you're kind of just forced to figure out what now? Like, what's next? Like, what are we doing? Like, are you going home? Are you going to quit? Like, are we going to keep going? And before I left, I didn't really make a plan because it kind of happened quicker than I wanted to. So yeah, from the jump, it was kind of like one thing after the next. From the beginning, I kind of had to think on my feet, and the more things progress, the better they kind of got. And now I feel like I'm in a pretty good place, but I'm kind of too afraid to coast because it's been so crazy with everything else that's been going on. But I am, of course, still grateful. I mean, I don't know if I've told anyone on the podcast or if I mentioned it, but I do work at a dispensary now, and I have a great house and everything, and I basically get paid to pay with cannabis legally, and it's all pretty good. So despite it being pretty white, and that's kind of annoying, and Proud Boys are annoying and stupid, other than that, you know, I can't really it's not that I regret it or can't really complain because I'm not doing that bad right now, you know?
Yeah. Would you have done anything differently?
Yes.
Yeah, because...
For sure.
Because I was...
For sure.
Because I was going to say, do you think you had the means to leave?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. Because I got rid of my car. I was bouncing job to job. I've had 5 jobs so far. It's been a year that I've lived here. I've lived in like 2 different places. I have to deal with that. So I've had a lot of issues. So it would have been really, really hard for me to come back. That's also another thing that made me kind of be like, all right, so what next? Because getting home would have been way too much. And then once I got home, it would have been like, okay, I got rid of a lot of really important things, or I left a lot of really important things, and I would have had to start over from scratch. And I just didn't want to do that. I still don't want to do that. And it's pretty remarkable what I can do when I don't want to do something. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
So I kind of want to go back to what you had said earlier about when people like leave their hometown, they like find themselves. Do you think that you found yourself, or are you still figuring that out?
Oh, of course I'm still figuring that out. I'm going to be figuring that out for a while. I mean, I'm only 26, so it's going to be a minute. But I definitely feel like I have more space to do that. And then, I guess, more freedom to do that. And that also comes with moving to another place, too. Because technically you can be in... do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of. I don't know. So that helped too. But I don't think I've changed very much because I kind of stay to myself. I go to work and then I come home. So I haven't really been as social as I used to be. So that kind of kept me pretty grounded, pretty same. Can't really change when I'm too busy napping.
Yeah. I mean, besides Portland being more white than Houston, I mean, it's hard when you leave Texas in general, I feel like, because Houston's, like, the most diverse city in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I feel like anywhere you go, it's going to be more white, right? Like, to be fair.
Yeah, that is
but,
true.
But, like, besides that, how is Portland different from Houston?
Portland's different and... First off, the environment in general, it's a lot smaller than people realize. Well, than I realized. I'll speak for myself in this terms. Than I realized, but when I first moved here, I didn't visit before I did, which was probably a mistake. I probably should have visited before. But that, it's smaller, and then it's a lot greener. I feel a lot more connected to nature out here. I don't think I was able to really... very many green things unless you kind of drive out in Houston. It's kind of more city. And then I don't know, working has been a little bit different here, and just the way people behave has been really different too, which has been kind of weird for me working customer service and having to constantly work with people. I feel like people are a lot more passive aggressive here, and that was really hard for me to get used to for a while.
Right.
And it kind of made me a little bit upset, but then after a while, I kept smoking and not okay. You know?
Yeah. I kind of wanted to dive a little bit deeper about your personal experiences with living as a Black queer woman in Portland versus like how it might be like that in Houston, because I feel like people in general think that the South is just like this backward ass like nowhere land, and that anywhere outside of Texas, especially like the East Coast or the West Coast, is supposed to be this like liberal neoliberal like utopia,
right?
So I'm wondering, like, what has it been like for you to live in Portland in a predominantly white city?
Okay, so for me, walking around and getting around on foot now that my bike is out of service and I haven't changed it has been significantly different for me because I feel like I'm able to take in my environment more and I'm able to notice people like taking me in more because I do stand out because there's only like what I think like a 6% population or percent of black people, so it's very, very few. So anytime I'm anywhere, I can like constantly feel people like watching me or noticing me, and that's really annoying. And I've kind of developed this thing where I don't really like pay attention to people. I kind of like stare out a lot, and I've gotten really, really good at it to the point where I just don't really pay attention to people. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's mm-hmm. definitely helped me cope just to like help with my personal anxiety. Cause like when I'm walking alone, like I feel like it feels weird to notice that people, to like feel that people are staring at you and then you look at them and then you're right. And they were looking at you. And then I feel like some people are super passive aggressive here instead of being like, oh, hey, or like, oh, hey, what's up? Or I don't know anything. They like turn their heads and act like they weren't just staring you down. Like, I was like just staring me down like I was like, you know, something they've never seen before. And so that's really right. fucking awkward. And at first I noticed it a lot, and then that's what made me kind of like react kind of like, what are you guys constantly staring at? But now I just kind of like purposely look above mm-hmm. me or like look super far ahead of me and just don't really look make direct eye contact with people. Which I realize can sometimes make me seem a little bit rude in person. I thought about that a lot too, with being a bud tender, to be in person and kind of just walk past people because it is a really small town. But I don't know. I've just gotten really used to not paying people attention, to people.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Portland alone, like white people takes up about like 77%.
Mm-hmm.
And then black people, African American folks are about like 5.7%.
Yeah, and it's constantly changing and it's constantly getting worse because like Portland is riddled with gentrification right now and it's really, really bad, particularly in this area that I'm living in, which is why my job, the dispensary, is where it is because that area used to be a predominantly black neighborhood before it got gentrified. So that number itself in that mm-hmm. area and in the Portland community in general is getting smaller because there's been so much gentrification right. happening.
And comparing that to Houston.
Right.
Houston, it's like 49% white and like 25% black. And 37% of Latinx mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that was definitely an adjustment. Usually whenever people ask me what I miss about Houston, I usually say first the diversity. my family. I mean, of course I say family and friends first, and then I say diversity. Right. I'll switch that around. Sorry, right. guys.
Sorry, fam.
Right. It's like, I do miss you guys. But yeah, so that's been definitely an adjustment, but I feel like for myself, for my own self-preservation, I feel like I've been intaking a lot more black media and mm-hmm. people of color media, or like I'll just kind of like indulge in that in my own space, which is again another thing back to me not really being as social. I feel like my experience would probably be a lot different if I was in the public a lot more. Because then I'd have to constantly deal with it, like, you know, everywhere. Here, right now, I mostly just work and go home, and then, like, I'll go to, like, the grocery store, which is a lot, because there's so many people. But other than that, I'm kind of boring.
I wanted you to clarify this for me. So, would you say that because of all the shit that you have to deal with, that, as a result, makes you less social?
Sometimes it's definitely something I consider when going out. Like, I consider how much of my energy I want to spend being in a super white space when I could just, you know, be comfortable at home or just go somewhere and have people freak out when I, like, put in effort to make myself not necessarily freak out. I should not use the word freak out, but to have people, like, make me feel like they're, like, watching me or looking at me, like, constantly. Like, no one wants to feel, like, constantly, like, under a microscope. And that's how I feel with myself, also with my anxiety. Like, I feel like since I stand out, people are always, like, watching me or, like, noticing me. So it's really hard for me to just kind of, like, blend in and exist in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like subjecting my energy to that. Like I said before, I worked in customer service. I have two different jobs. I'm either at a dispensary or at a laundromat, so I'm constantly dealing with people all the time. So when it comes to my free time, I get kind of stingy with it, and I'm like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Like, why would I go out and, I don't know, deal with it some more, you know? Like, I don't know.
Do you feel like that you have to code switch or adjust your behavior or language in general when you're out in the public?
Not out in public, because again, like, I make sure I'm not really like paying that much attention to people when I'm like walking around, but mm-hmm. definitely at my jobs. My first job is at like a hip hop dispensary. It's black owned and it's like predominantly black, so we play hip hop, we talk freely, we can, like, I can wear my hair however, like, if I wanted to put, like, a wig on tomorrow, no one's gonna be like, oh my god, your hair, you know, because they get it, and then
it's so different.
Exactly, like, that's not gonna happen, they understand, it's fine, if anything, they'll be like, oh, cute hairstyle, and then keep it moving, whereas at my other job, at the laundromat, it is, like, a hipster place. It's like a laundromat, half coffee shop with like an arcade up top. And so there I feel a lot more code switchy, but it usually sucks because I usually don't have the energy for it. So I just kind of don't mm-hmm. really have even time to even dedicate my time to code switching, and I'm just quiet most of the time. so, I mean, I just kind of pass out soap or like fold clothes and like wipe top of machines and keep it moving. I don't engage as much.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at that point right now. Like, it took me a minute. Like, when I first got here, it was a lot for me to kind of transition into, but now I smoke a lot. I go to my job and work at the dispensary and I'm around my people. And then I do my spin shift around all like the hipster like stuff. And then mm-hmm. I don't know, ignore everyone else and then listen to some Erykah Badu the whole time. Like, I really am in my own zone.
Yeah. Yeah. God, just imagine if we lived in a world where we didn't have to code switch anymore.
Huh?
So just imagine if we lived in a world where we didn't have to code switch anymore.
I know, that would be great. It would be so great. Like, I would definitely, of course, it's not like preferred. Like, I definitely don't want to stay in Portland. I don't like having to put myself in my own like protective bubble and protect my space and protect my essence constantly. Like, I'd rather not do that, but it is what it is right now. I have I don't know, I thought I had a plan, but right now I'm doing so well in my career right now, and I'd have to think about where I'd be able to continue with cannabis to consider where I want to move next. It wouldn't be Texas, unfortunately.
Yeah
For that alone.
How many black owned shops are there?
Black owned what?
Shops are there.
I believe there's one more somewhere.
Are y'all one of the first ones?
Huh?
Are y'all one of the first ones?
We are one of the first ones that is both like at the moment black owned and operated. The operated part might be changing soon. We might be adding on other people of color. But right now, we are the first one, yeah.
Nice, that's awesome.
In Oregon, as far as Oregon is concerned, there might be more in right. California, but I don't know.
Sweet. Yeah. And also, this is cool. Oregon's doing their, what is it? So people who've gotten arrested or have any violations with marijuana, they're releasing them.
Oh, they're expunging their records.
Expunging.
Oh, yeah, about
yes,
time.
That's the word
that's
I'm looking
what's
for.
What's up? I'm very glad to hear that. I'm very happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. That I'm glad that they're doing that and just like saying, doing the things that we all as a nation see Portland as, because like everyone thinks of Portland as being a liberal place, but also not. It depends if you're in a rural area.
Right. And it also depends if you're black or white.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Obviously. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Really, all in all, like this is what I kind of want people to take away from, is that no matter where you live, you're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just depends on like which ones are going to be more prominent in what areas. Like here, I feel like it wouldn't be hard. And maybe this is just my own personal experience. It's just my personal experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, it's not very hard to walk around and see another brown person. But I definitely have to still watch my back whenever I'm like out with other queer friends or something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and maybe this is just me assuming, Mandisha, so quote me, like, so tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's a little bit easier to be queer in Portland, but because it's so predominantly white, you know, it like you feel out of place as a person of color.
Yeah. You know, you're not wrong at all.
So,
and then you're not wrong at all, and I agree with you. I do not think that Portland is a utopia at all that everyone paints it to be, like at all. Like if anything, it's kind of annoying. I'm over people a lot when I'm not in my customer service like mode or whatever.
Yeah.
When I'm not forced to be nice to people, I'd rather not, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, I dedicate so much of my energy being nice to people, I'd rather not be nice to. So much that it, like, physically drains me, and I don't like it. But, yeah, that's the trade-off. There is a larger population of queer people, but they're still white queer people.
Right.
So...
the next time I complain about, you know... How I feel in Houston, I'm gonna be like, oh man, I can't imagine how Disha's feeling though.
Seriously.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like it's like awful. I mean,
right.
I'm in love and I'm in my house, so it's fine, you know?
Like, we're not here to play the Struggle Olympics, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's like you said though, like people do consider Portland as a sort of like a neoliberal utopia when, you know, like I went to a music festival in October, and I would tell people like, oh, I'm from Texas. I wouldn't tell them what city. I would just be like, I'm from Texas. And people would either tell, like, apologize to me for it or give me this look of like, you know, why? And I'm just like, because I'm gay for Texas. Like, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, and I knew that if I had said like, oh, I'm from Austin, I wouldn't have gotten those kinds of reactions, right? But because I knew about people's biases about the South, I'd said Texas and like not Houston. It would have been the same thing if I said Houston too. You know what I mean? They probably would have been like, "Oh, why?" You know, sorry, don't live in Austin, you fucks. I could go off on a tangent about that too, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, Houston. I mean, Austin is a whole nother story. I mean, they had that whole bombing thing. Those packages in March, like so much shit has happened this year. I'm glad it's about to be over,
thank God.
Dude, this year has gone by so fast, but it's felt so long. It's crazy.
This is funny. This is actually the other night. I was somewhere and someone was like, oh yeah, you know, even John McCain died this year. And I was like, what? He's dead?
This year. That felt like last year already. Like, I'm so tired.
But yeah, so it's been a long year and
we have cool things happening.
We have cool things happening. And Disha's over there.
We're trucking on through.
Doing her thing. We're doing the best we can with getting episodes out also.
Yeah.
True.
Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
We're the worst. The worst.
So we do have a lot of things in work.
Can't especially wait to
tell with y'all. Indisha being out there.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna be stirring up some things. We're also probably gonna end our season pretty early.
Yeah.
But we're gonna start right back up probably in like a month after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Or a couple of weeks.
Probably like what, late January is when we'll start back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then end like in what, like mid-December or something like that? I can't remember.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm gay. I don't know how to do math.
But Yeah, we. Thanks, Indisha, for letting us intrude and ask you questions.
And grill
about,
you.
grill you about Portland.
It's okay. It was only, like, a little bit nerve-wracking. I had been, like, you guys, I've been dreading this episode for so long because I was so nervous because I'm like, so, not necessarily private, but, like, I've definitely, like, I've grown to that point where I'm, like, I don't really want people in my business, and I feel like the more, like, the older I get and, like, the more involved in, like, the cannabis industry and the more involved in Fear Queer, like, people are always asking about an Instagram. I'm like, oh, it asks me what I'm up to, and I'm just like, I don't tell anyone, I can't do it. So just like the idea of doing this episode has been like so like nerve wracking for me, just because I don't know, I've just been cultivating my space and just like snatching it up like a little like self care gremlin. And
oh my god, yes. But yeah, that's what we kind of wanted to do this episode on. So that's why we took a break.
Exactly.
This is or not this episode, but the season. We wanted to do a self-care, so obviously we did. We took a long ass hiatus. So like, sort of.
I mean, it's been working. I mean, I feel better today about recording than I felt like as far as like physically, as far as like being tired and everything. Like, I feel like I'm prepared for it.
Really? Because I feel worse.
Huh?
I say really because I feel worse.
Oh.
I've had better days.
But I think you're doing good, Julian.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Thanks. Jules. This is my first episode, y'all.
Yay.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow, this is my first episode.
we're all doing great. Look, y'all are just glowing.
Aw, thanks,
the glow
Dad.
Up.
The glow up. Thanks, Dad.
So
In the meantime, make sure you're following our pages to stay on top of what's going on in our lives, y'all. Because, like Mai said, we have a lot of cool things happening. We just can't talk about them yet, but we hope that you are all as excited as we are.
Yeah.
But
stay tuned,
and don't forget to follow our Facebook page, which is Veer Queer Podcast, and follow us on Twitter, which is Veer underscore Queer HTX. And also, don't forget to subscribe and like us on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher now, and wherever you get your podcasts anywhere else. Because I know there's other apps, but I don't know them.
Yeah, and if y'all are listening, and you want us to get an Instagram, let us know, because we've been debating it,
but I don't have the capacity for that. And yeah, none of us do.
I don't even have.
We're like, no, hard no.
No, big hard no for me. I already do social media for my job.
True.
I'm really good.
But
on
if
that.
Enough people want and y'all ask, we'll do it.
Yes.
But we're not going to do it if y'all don't ask.
No.
So.
Don't There's ask and you shall not receive.
Right. It's like, but anyway. We don't want to, but we will. And when we do, we'll hate it. But, like,
but we're also
it, we
doing
will.
It for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm Julian.
And I'm Mai.
And I'm Indy.
And we'll see you next time, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.